MIRSnews.com. You got to check out the MIRS newsletter to know what's going on. On the other end of our line is the editor of MIRS, Kyle Mullen. Kyle, how are you?
Great. How's it going, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for coming on the program. Let's dive right into it. First of all, what is going to happen with the legislation regarding allowing the state to have more schools that aren't public in nature, that are charter in nature?
Yeah, and charter schools are, I don't know, some, you know, they do receive public funding. They do receive the per pupil grant. Right now, there is a cap on the amount of charter schools that can be sponsored by universities, Central Michigan, Grand Valley, community colleges. Right now, that cap's at 150, and the Senate passed legislation earlier this year that would remove that cap so that there could be an unlimited number of university-backed charter schools. And now, this is something that charter school advocates have been trying to get for the last 15, 16 years, and they've always had trouble in the House getting it through. In the past, the MEA has always put the screws to a few vulnerable Republican members, some of whom they've endorsed, and were able to block it before it could get to the governor. Engler had always wanted it, but he could never get it on his desk. Well, now it's in the House again, and this time they're having trouble getting it through the House because there are members who are being persuaded by their local school districts to vote against it because they don't want charter schools coming into their school district. They see their school districts as performing very well, and they're concerned that if they have the competition of charter schools in there, that it will drain money away from the school district at a time when school districts are already suffering. So there is some talk about a possible compromise to limit an expansion of charter schools to maybe those school districts that aren't performing well. I don't know what kind of measurement or definition they're talking about there, but that is one of the big things we're going to be looking at these last 3 days of session if this charter cap bill goes through as House leadership wants it to go through.
You know what I get, Kyle, when I've asked David Hecker, who is the president of the American Federation of Teachers for Michigan. I've talked with Doug Pratt, who is with the MEA, as you know, and yeah. they tell me they're not against it because of the fact of competition. They say they're against it because there are more unqualified, low-performing charter schools than there are positive ones, and they want to make sure that the state doesn't get over saturated with these underperforming schools. And of course, you know, you challenge them on that, but they stick to the bottom line.
Well, I think there are numbers on both sides that both boast the case for charter schools and also hurt the case of charter schools. You know, the bottom line is unions don't like charter schools because they can't get membership out of them, you know, whereas in public schools, you know, they're unionized shops and, you know, they get members that way. So that's the real reason they don't like charter schools. But you know, another side issue to this also is the expansion of something called cyber schools, Tony. Could you imagine having classes in high school that you just take online from the comfort of your own home?
I can, because I've taken those classes before through LCC and MSU.
Is that right?
Yes,
well,
I have.
Well, this could be right up your alley then, because right now there is a limit on the number of cyber schools that are allowed in the state of Michigan, and it's only two. And this has only been allowed for the last 2 years. Well, there's a bill that would expand cyber schools to an unlimited amount as well. Now, that bill is actually getting a little bit of blowback from the State Board of Education, and State Superintendent Mike Flanagan, who say, you know, that we don't really have good data on how well these cyber schools are doing and whether, you know, the kids are doing the work and if the work is quality and so on and so forth. So before we lift the cap on that one, maybe we better do a little bit more research. And so I think that bill is not going to go by the end of the year. I think the House is going to do a little bit more study on that to see if that's something they want to do. The charter schools, though, they want to get moved before the end of the week.
Will the charter schools pass?
Well, I think it will pass. The question is how much the leadership is going to have to give up to get it passed. I mean, can they get it passed without any type of, you know, special exceptions, such as are we limiting it to poor performing schools? Are we just lifting the cap maybe from 150 to 250? You know, those kind of things. How many changes are in the bill is what I'm going to be looking at.
All right. Interesting. I love the quote of the day. I'm going to read this. Quite frankly, Native American tribes have more money than the state of Michigan does. That comes from Representative Dave Agema speaking in support of the soon-to-be-introduced legislation that would eliminate the North American Indian Tuition Waiver Program, which has suffered from state underfunding for years. Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, he's referencing the fact that Native American have casinos throughout the state and are getting a good amount of money from them. I think all the tribes are different in how they disperse that money and what they do with the money. But, you know, what the situation is here is the state has a program that allows scholarships for people who can prove a certain ancestry of Native American. But the problem is that since the state has had so little funding over the years, they haven't funded the program very well. And so they count on the universities and colleges that take these students to foot the bill. And one of the schools that really gets socked is one up north, Lake Superior State, which has a tiny budget anyway, but they have a large number of Native Americans who go up there and qualify for this program. And so what happens is 6 to 7% of that school's budget gets sucked up by this program. And, you know, it's really hard on them. And so there's a bill out there that Dave Agema supports, and he actually sponsored this back in 2008, that would just end the program altogether. So there isn't a money drain out there. That, of course, is being opposed by the Department of Civil Rights that it says, you know, this is really addressing a population that has higher rates of poverty than other demographic rates. And Dave Agema is from Granville, just raises the question, well, how can that possibly be? Because these Indian casinos are making money hand over fist. How is that money not trickling down to the youth in those communities? So a debate that I think we're going to see a little bit next year.
All right. Just briefly, whatever, and I'll let you decide what's important and what isn't, but the top 10 items left in the 2011 legislature are?
Well, I think number one really is what's going to happen with this Affordable Health Care Act, Health Exchange. You know, the state of Michigan got $9 million from the federal government to continue development of a web page where consumers can go and buy individual health insurance, you know, like a Travelocity.com, like Experience. You know, you've heard about this health exchange debate. You know, conservatives like to call it Obamacare. And so what's happening is the Republicans in the House have to decide whether they're going to go ahead and spend this federal money. And they're concerned that if they go ahead and accept it, they're walking down the path of quote-unquote Obamacare and somehow endorsing the concept, whereas the governor is saying, hey, listen, if we don't take this money right now and start implementing our own program and quote-unquote Obamacare gets upheld in the courts, we're going to have a federal system imposed on us. Do we really want that? Or do we want to take control of our own destiny and just go ahead and start creating our own system that we like, that we have control over, before something is forced upon us? So that's a real debate that's going on right now, and the Tea Party activists are really engaged in this and really putting pressure on the House Republicans to say no, take a philosophical hard stand, and say we don't like this health care law, period, and we don't want to participate in it in any way, shape, or form, or endorse its existence by taking this money.
All right. What are going to be the big hot issues for 2012, Kyle?
Oh, geez. I got to be honest, Tony. I haven't really been thinking that far ahead. But, you know, let me go back to another, I think, kind of an interesting thing on our top 10 is the opening up of the pension tax. We talked about the pension tax on this show before, haven't
sure.
we, Tony?
Yep.
And, you know, the House and the Senate had to take votes on that they're not very happy that they had to take. Well, there's some cleanup that needs to be done to this income tax law this year, and the Democrats are salivating over the thought of putting up another amendment that says, hey, why don't we just go ahead and put these exemptions for retirement income back in? you know, now that everybody's had a chance to listen to the seniors in their communities and how much they don't like the fact that they're going to have to pay income tax on it, let's go ahead and put the exemptions back in. Well, the Republicans are not very happy about having to vote on this again, even though they know they have to clean up the bill or clean up the law. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Democrats go ahead and force another vote on the pension tax and what the Republicans are going to do with this vote. They're not very excited about having to vote it down again. You know, and also we're going to be looking at this interim EM, emergency manager bill. You've probably been following this too, where the city of Detroit is just steamrolling to bankruptcy. Coming in April, the city council and mayor can't figure out how to balance their budget. But at the same time, there's a group over there in Detroit who have gathered nearly enough signatures to suspend the state's emergency manager law. And Governor Snyder and the Republican leaders are getting really concerned, because what happens if the law is suspended and then Detroit is steamrolling toward bankruptcy and there's no way to protect them from creditors? And so they're trying to figure out a way to get a new law into place without making it appear like they're trampling over, a citizen referendum, because that doesn't really look very good. So if that doesn't get done this year, Tony, that's going to get done next year when these petitions get turned in. And right now it looks like they're going to get enough.
Kyle Malin is the editor of the MIRS newsletter. Please go to MIRSnews.com if you want to find out and you want to know what's going on in Lansing. You're listening to the Tony Connelly Morning Show. Kyle, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Hey, no problem, Tony.